Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the chairman of the Clark County Commission, who's on a mission. Paulinos has the rundown.
Today, Sam, we're going to be talking with Democratic gubernatorial candidate Rory Reid about everything from education to economic development.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Fred Locken and Jeff Fontaine. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Success has come to TRI through public-private partnerships. I'm here at the new USA Parkway Interchange with Master Developer Don Roger Norman and Commission Chairman Bum Hess from Story County. Let's listen in.
Roger, it's impressive how you were able to do this bridge in half the time at half the cost. How were you able to do that?
It was a great team of people, NDOT, Story County, the cooperation with everybody, the contractors. This all went extremely fast and under budget.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beer, and martinis, it's Sully Sports Bar and Grill. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun, just north of the Summit Sierra on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Thanks for your help, Don.
Sure, Mike. How's your construction business going?
It's really growing. How's your business going?
Well, ever since I opened the restaurant, I've been having trouble with my workers' comp program. Who handles your workers' comp?
Well, I use Pro Group Management. They really work with me.
Are they expensive?
Well, I've never had an increase in rates.
Whoa.
I'll get you the number. And thanks again, Don. I couldn't have done this without you.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans. Generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year. Provided nearly $700 million to help our schools. And built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're very pleased to welcome back to the program Rory Reid. He's the chairman of the Clark County Commission and a Democratic candidate for governor of the great state of Nevada. Pleasure to have you back on the
program. Great to be here. Thanks a lot.
I want to start out on a personal note and ask about the health of your mom and your sister who were in that horrible accident a couple of weeks ago.
I appreciate you asking. My mom's home and recovering. She's a tough lady, and she'll be fine. We'll get through this. My sister is well, too, so thanks for your concern.
Okay, so your dad was saying on the program last week that they thought it was going to be about 6 to 8 weeks for your mom.
Right.
That really is amazing, considering a broken spine and a broken neck.
She's a resilient lady, and, you know, we're grateful she's alive and she can move. So, you know, you count your blessings when you can.
Okay, absolutely. Let's turn to the tougher stuff now. We want to do kind of a lightning round and then get your education plan.
All right.
Let's start about, do you have concerns as the chairman of the Clark County Commission about the Tea Party rally that's going to be in Searchlight? And is the county ready and the Highway Patrol ready to deal with potentially thousands of people showing up in this small rural area of Nevada?
You know, we're pretty good at crowd control in southern Nevada. We're used to a lot of people coming to town for different things. I think that, you know, it's fine if people come out and express their points of view. I hope that they'll be willing to listen to everybody telling them where to park and that the crowd will be controlled. But, I, you know, as I said, I think we're good at that.
And then the Highway Patrol is fully involved in this?
I'm sure they are. You know, it's not my job to go out there and tell people where to park, but we have a lot of people that know more about public safety than me that are going to do it.
Okay, let's talk about the governor and the legislature going to the Supreme Court over the Clean Water Coalition money, the $62 million. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about this? Because you're kind of in an interesting situation here. You have a position on the Clark County Commission, but you're also running for governor, and you're going to have to, if you become governor, deal with the state budget. So how do you feel about the raid on the Clean Water Coalition funds?
Well, the legislature was in a difficult position, and I can understand why that's the capital money they sought, because it was money that was regional. And, you know, I don't like diversions as a principle. I think that, the state shouldn't go after local money as a rule to solve their problems. But, you know, I think at this point we need to leave it to the lawyers. The legislature took the action they took, and it will run its course.
As governor, would you stay away from raiding local funds, or would you have to do it on an as-needed basis?
I think that I've said it so often that to be consistent, I would have to continue to say it. I think that states should solve the problems to the extent they can without taking local money. Now, that's not to say that there can't be some collaboration and state and local governments can't work together.
Let's talk about the Clark County firefighters. They've been very much in the news, mm-hmm. and as I've said on this program before, nobody complains about what firefighters get paid when your house is burning down and they show up, or if you've had a heart attack. But how do you feel about the negotiations at this point? I know you're not part of the negotiating team, but Steve Sisolak has taken a lot of heat, and you've talked about First Amendment rights for county commissioners to be able to voice their opinions. How do you feel about the firefighter pay at this point?
Well,
considering current budget situation.
I think I was the first one to stand up and say in local government that our personnel costs were not sustainable. I've made that point over and over. I called all the labor organizations back to the table. As a result of that, we saved tens of millions of dollars, but there's more to do. And, I'll say to you what I said to the head of the firefighters union. I've said to him that we can't keep doing this, that local government will cave in on itself if we don't do something about personnel costs. Two-thirds of our budget goes to personnel, and we need to try to work together if we can to reduce those costs.
Now, one of the reasons that is the case is because local governments are under a law that the state doesn't have to contend with, and that's collective bargaining and also NRS 288.
Right.
This last legislative session, not the last one, 2009 regular legislative session, collective bargaining was passed, and it was vetoed by the governor. It hasn't come back for the override, but we have a potential, if you are governor, that we are going to be dealing with collective bargaining on a state level as well. Do you think that's something that will make it more difficult in your job as governor?
Well, I see the virtue of collective bargaining. You need to make sure that certain workers show up. You can't have police officers or firefighters or other key personnel decide one day that they want to strike, because it would create an obvious crisis. I think, though, that we need to have an ongoing working relationship with public employees, and we need to have the political courage to stand up and say, hey, we can't do this anymore. This isn't going to work, and we need to find ways to collaborate to reduce personnel costs, and that's what I've tried. That's the kind of leadership I've tried to show.
I talked to Judge Sandoval on this program recently, mm-hmm. and I asked him if he planned to put a budget together that will be ready to go by Election Day, because of the short amount of time there is between Election Day and the State of the State. And he said that he thought that was inappropriate. Senator Townsend was on the program a week or so later, and he said that he disagreed, and that there are people who used to work for the legislature in the budgetary areas who should be brought back to work immediately, because with an almost $4 billion hole in the budget, that we need to be working on it right now. Do you plan to have your own budget in place by the time we get to Election Day?
I don't think it's inappropriate. It's just difficult and takes a lot of courage. I said on the day I announced my candidacy that I would do that. I put out a 30-page plan the day I announced my candidacy about what we need to do to create jobs today to put Nevadans back to work, what we need to do to diversify our economy so we have a strong economy in the long term. And I also said that I would speak to that issue before the election. I think that somebody that wants to be governor needs to show leadership today. This is a job interview. I want a new job, and I'm interviewing with the people of Nevada, and the people of Nevada have a right to know what the heck I would do as governor, and I'm going to tell them, and I would challenge all my opponents to do the same.
Will you be specific, because at this point you have not been specific about where you will find almost $4 billion?
What I have said is that a bipartisan group of legislators has established a visioning committee. It's a group of stakeholders. They're citizens. They're real people, not elected officials. And they're looking at our revenue structure. They're trying to determine what Nevada's future should be. And what I've said is that I shouldn't prejudge that effort or try to push them in one direction or another, that it should be an honest effort. So I haven't said I won't address it. I've just talked about the timing. I'm going to wait till the visioning committee is done doing their work, and then I'm going to react to it. I'm going to tell them if I think they're right, if I think they're wrong. And so I'm going to be very specific at the right point.
And I know a lot of the people that I represent, people in the business community, have been watching that Vision Stakeholders group, and it seems to be a little worrisome how they approach some of the topics, especially when you have a committee that's composed, you know, overwhelmingly of public employees compared to people in the private sector. Mm-hmm. So the vision does seem a little skewed to the people that are going to be benefiting from the revenue as opposed to the people paying it. How do you think we can balance those sometimes competing interests?
Well, I reserve the right to disagree with them. I'm not saying I'm waiting to see what they say so that I can agree with it. I think that that will be one of the inputs that I consider when I put forth a budget for the future. And I don't want to get into the argument about whether the committee is properly about the composition of the committee. I'm going to react to whatever they say, and as I have been throughout the campaign, I'm going to be very substantive and specific about what I believe, because, as I said, this is a job interview, and I'm going to give Nevadans a reason to understand what I would do as governor.
And we're going to take a quick coffee break here and come right back. We'll be right back with Rory Reed after this.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
I'm attorney Marilyn York. We only seek men as clients. If you are a man burdened by divorce, please visit our website at www.marilynyork.net to learn more about your rights. We are Reno's largest exclusive divorce and family law firm.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
Two championship courses and life's distractions fading away.
Join the area's best locals program, the Talon Club at Red Hawk.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and we protect men. You deserve a fair financial settlement and time with your children.
If you need an attorney that gives a damn, call 324-7979 or visit MarilynYork.net for all your family law needs.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Rory Reed. He's the chairman of the Clark County Commission, and he's running for governor on the Democratic ticket. You put out your ideas for education in a very lengthy piece here this past week. Let me ask you this. One of the things that you talk about is empowerment. How different is your empowerment theory than what Walt Ruffus has been doing in Southern Nevada already?
Well, when I developed the plan, I spent a year doing this, Sam. I talked to principals and teachers and parents and support staff and administrators, and what I found is that words often got in the way. You know, when you say empowerment, it means one thing to one person and a completely different thing to another. So I just tried to determine what the ingredients are to a good school, and then I gave it a new name, an edge school. So this is different than what Clark County School District schools that are called empowerment schools are, but it's different in some ways. The components of a very successful school are a principal that is empowered to lead a teacher that's given the freedom to teach according to what their students need, and parents that are engaged. That's what you need to have a great school. And I have developed a plan that I believe will allow every school in Nevada to become that kind of school. There are 14 empowerment schools in Clark County. There's a handful of them up here in Washoe County. We need to give every school in Nevada the ability to be innovative, not just a handful. So I believe I've taken the best of empowerment, magnet, charter, and traditional public schools, and I've created a new model. I call them edge schools because I believe we're never going to have a great economy if we don't have a great education system. So it's economic development through great education. That's edge. And that's the new model. I think that I am doing the right thing here.
You know, you look at some of the ideas in the plan, and, you know, I think there's some great ideas. You know, you do hold principals more accountable. You do make it more difficult for ineffective teachers to get tenure. I think those are some great ideas. You also have a disagreement with the Senate Majority Leader in how you assess performance of those teachers. Can you explain that?
Well, I think that unfortunately, a teacher, and I know this, my wife's a teacher. A teacher is required to spend too much time either preparing or administering tests. They spend about a third of their time on testing, and I think tests are important, but they shouldn't be the only measure of a student's performance or of a teacher's performance, because they're just a snapshot in time. We need multiple measures, multiple indicators, so that we can properly evaluate a child's progress and a teacher and a principal's performance, and that's what I talk about in the plan.
Let me ask you this. Obviously, for at least the first couple of years, if you were to become governor, mm-hmm. there would be no additional money available. In fact, there may be money taken away. What parts of the plan can be put together without additional money?
I developed this plan in the context of this economy. It is a revenue-neutral plan. Other states have done this. It's not like a college term paper where you get marked down for plagiarism. It's okay to copy. I've looked all over the country, and I found states that have done things, and the way they're funded is by reducing the administrative costs. I want to put schools back in the hands of parents and principals and teachers and take them out of the hands of bureaucrats in Carson City and of bureaucrats in the various school districts. And by reducing the administrative costs, you can put more money in the classroom and do it in a revenue-neutral way. In Maryland, they saved $165 million in administrative costs, and they put that money back in the classroom. It's been done in several other states. We can do it here in Nevada.
You know, one of the things that
I hate to do this, but that's where we have to leave it for this time. You're welcome back anytime, as you know, and thank you for being here today. We'll be right back
with
the newsmakers after this time out.
Murrieta's Restaurant and Cantina offers the greatest Mexican food, now with two locations, one at 3060 Vista Boulevard in Sparks, the other on South Virginia in Reno, right next to In-N-Out Burger. Enjoy two-for-one drink specials from 3 to 6 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and 99-cent tacos from 2 to 5 p.m. Mexican and American-style breakfast is served on weekends beginning at 10 a.m., and their chorizo and eggs for just $4.99 is the best deal in town. Murrieta's, the best Mexican food this side of the border.
The race is on to link Las Vegas and Southern California via high-speed train. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid appears to have derailed one effort by pulling federal money. That's good news for the competing Desert Express. We'll hear from backer Sig Rogish.
Cricket knows you need coverage in all 50 states. We also know you need a smaller phone bill. That's why we've expanded our new nationwide coverage to reach every single state. And it's still just half the price of Verizon and AT&T. New unlimited nationwide calling, plus just $30 a month, adds up to a whole new kind of respect. So you can pay half the price and have all the fun. Plus, right now, save $40 on this messaging phone. Now just $99.99. Call, click, or come in today and get even more respect for your wallet. Cricket.
There's a new clinical study for people who have arthritis and are also at risk for heart disease. Participants receive study-related medical care, checkups, and study medication at no charge. You must be at least 18, have had arthritis for at least 6 months, and take daily medication for your pain. You must also have heart disease risk factors or a history of heart disease. Call 1-877-865-0001 or visit arthritisheartstudy.com today.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in income tax to the IRS or state? Call today for a free consultation on how much your tax debt can be reduced. Don't wait. Find out how much money you could be saving today.
Call 800-490-0423. That's 800-490-0423.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Fred Locken is here, political science professor at Truckee Meadows Community College, and Jeff Fontaine, executive director of the Nevada Association of Counties. So I'm going to leave you out of this because Rory Reed is on your board. But Fred, your impressions of Rory Reed and his campaign so far?
Well, I think that it's a very cerebral campaign to date, which will appeal to a certain type of voter. I'm actually pleased that in such difficult times, both on the Republican and Democratic side, we have what I see as viable candidates that I think will really provide a real choice in the November election. But I think he makes a really strong case.
Well, I think all the candidates are viable right now. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? I think, you know, the top four, I should say, not all of them, not talking about, you know, I don't know if we have any porn stars running for governor here this time, but you have Mike Montandon, who, you know, has been a very capable, very effective leader down in North Las Vegas. You have Brian Sandoval, of course, our current governor, Rory. I mean, I think this is and you know what? We had that last time with in our gubernatorial race, too, with Bob Beers and Lorraine Hunt and Chip Gibson and Dina Titus. So I think, you know, Nevada was pretty good about getting good people who want to run.
But the argument is, as you look at the 2011 legislature coming, and that's what all of these candidates know they're facing, I think it's a miracle that we have the caliber we have this time.
Yeah, why would you want to run?
Yeah, exactly.
Have, you know, a 3-point. I don't like you going up to the $4 billion number now. I'm still at $3.5 billion, but who knows? We'll probably be to $6 billion by the time the legislature rolls around. You know, you're dealing with a $3.54 billion budget hole. You're dealing with a state that has the most upside down housing market in the country. Las Vegas is the most vacant city as far as housing goes. We have high unemployment rates. Why the hell would anybody want that job right now is beyond me, but I'm glad that we do have good people that are, you know, that are running. So
I wanted to bring up the clean water money that was swept from Clark County. How do your members feel about the state going after these monies? And well, I don't just as it was sweeping everything.
Well, in general, of course, the counties don't like having their revenues diverted, and the county revenues are down just like any other revenue at the state. The consolidated tax, the property taxes. For this particular issue, it's a revenue source that Clark County participated in, but there are others as well. And so we're going to be looking at the lawsuit here and following it very closely. You know, it's something that the state apparently needed to do, and apparently they felt like they had cooperation in doing it.
Let's talk about the governor wanting the attorney general to sue the federal government over the health care bill that just passed.
Well, this is really shaping up. Of the states that have come forward, none of them are Democratic AGs. So, I mean, for our governor to press a government, a Democratic AG into this business, I think is going to be very hard and very uphill. I also think we see a fight coming over the issue of whether he can use a personal attorney in lieu of that.
A personal attorney or...
Or another attorney.
Well, what I heard from Lynn Hectrick was the notion that he could, you know, he could use a, you know, attorney from, you know, assigned to his staff
office
or something.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, basically financed maybe out of the governor's office as opposed to the AG.
Your thoughts?
Well, you know, like any other piece of federal legislation, this is a large process in terms of the impacts to people. I mean, this bill is going to affect a lot of people in a lot of different ways, and the ink is hardly dry on the bill. We still have the Senate reconciliation that needs to take place, and so I understand the bill is hundreds and hundreds of pages. I think, you know, we need to take time to analyze what this bill really does, and then proceed from there. But you know, it's likely to come up.
It's kind of scary that, you know, we analyze what the bill does. You know, we probably should have done that before we passed it, but you know, we do things backwards.
We have to know what's in it, you know.
But the governor is obviously, and if I were in his position, I would do the same thing. He wants to get the maximum amount of publicity he can. The
sure.
Governor's office
well,
is putting out things.
But I don't know that it's just
day.
I don't know that it's just publicity or
no,
if it
not.
Is.
It's
if
going
it
to cost the state millions of dollars.
Absolutely. I think there's, I think, you know, they have a, I think they absolutely have a valid policy concern over what this is going to do to the state regarding our finances, and especially considering everything we just talked about here with the dire straits.
But okay, so we do know that it will cost the state additional money for Medicaid. However, What about the other costs that may be supplanted by this, and there may be some benefits somewhere else? For example, my members, the counties, they pay for those people who can't get Medicaid. So for the indigent medical population here, the counties are on the hook for those. So there may be some benefit to the counties or other places. And so I understand the impact of the state, and I understand the governor's position on that, but let's analyze the impacts of the bill.
And a legitimate constitutional issue. And I feel states haven't raised them often enough. So I think that in this sense, I do support those states that are coming forward to at least answer this question of whether the federal government can even be in this arena.
Well, can the effects of the bill move forward even while it's under consideration, perhaps going to the Supreme Court?
Well, I think it can, because frankly, I don't think anything actually begins until January 1st of 2011, except the refund checks to the Medicare folks. And so you have some time. They think it'll be a very swiftly treated issue because it's a up and down constitutional issue. So I think they do have time, and they have a responsibility to raise this question.
Well, and I also think one of the things they're looking at addressing is the huge sea change in requiring an individual to purchase something from a private entity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's, you know, we talked about a public option. It doesn't look like we need a public option now, because the insurance companies are the public option. We're just gonna take over the insurance companies and have them handle everything. So,
and that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be
Thank
right
you.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
He needs it today.
Done.
With Charter Business high-speed internet and telephone bundled together for one incredible price, I'm saving money.
Mr. Brenner.
We're working smarter, faster for customers like Brenner's Deli. And when opportunity knocks, we're ready to save the day.
It's Mr. Brenner. He's doubling the order.
Double is good.
Double is good.
Charter Business. Super fast internet. Telephone with nationwide unlimited long distance. Only $89.99 a month. Call 888-537-2318 today.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
Reno Auto Sound has just opened its doors on South Virginia Street. We sell numerous high-tech audio and video products from Pioneer, JBL, Kenwood, Infinity, JL Audio, and many others. We also offer auto alarms, DVD players, navigation systems, and window tinting for just $99 on any car. With one of the top 100 certified technicians in the country, we're ready to install your car stereo today. We can install any equipment purchased at Reno Auto Sound or elsewhere.
I'm heading down to Reno Auto Sound.
The sagging skin and jowls caused by years of aging, the quick lift can undo in just hours.
I've heard words and compliments I've never heard before. And my husband loves it. He's like, you look beautiful. And he didn't used to say that kind of thing to me. And so the quick lift was my answer.
Put yourself first for a change and discover how good it feels to look great again. Ask about our zero down interest free financing. Call Sierra Plastic Surgery today.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures.
Tomorrow, Sam, we have Ross Miller and Mike Marino who are going to talk to us about why we need to fill out those census forms.
Very interesting show. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching.